Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Us, the radio show where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the people, must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing our legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Face Us Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is March 1st, 2023. My name is Robin Austin. I'm with my co-host tonight.
Luann Fleming, how are you all doing tonight? And we also have Hillary Hoag on with us as well. Say hello, Hillary.
You bet your butt you have Hillary Hoag. I am here and I am fired up and ready to go. Lots happening. Unfortunately, I think Rick Black said he got like 30 calls so far or last week. It's happening. Affluent, indigent, or otherwise, they are not letting down, and I am more than honored to be on the show again tonight.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. We're basically going to just all have an open mic night tonight, and we had a cancellation, so I thought we would just do that. But we have a very important topic we want to talk about, so if you want to come live with us, if you want, it's open mic night. We're basically going to talk about why are pro se litigants thrown under the bus, and if you find a good attorney, why are they driven out of business when you find one? And then we're also going to talk about, are our courts completely lawless, or is there any hope? Hillary, I mean, Robin, we really wanted to talk about why people are having so many problems in our courts. Is it the judges just saying, fooey with you guys? Are they trying to do their work? I mean, what is really going on? What we want to cover tonight, if you have a story or you've been in front of a judge, it didn't go well, or whatever you want to talk about, we're open mic tonight. Robin, mm-hmm. I mean, come on, there's something going on with these courts.
It's absurd to think that in the United States of America, you know, when I was raised, I mean, it seemed like a very different nation when I was raised, when I was a young man, when I was a boy. I was sort of raised to believe in the United States as kind of the shining hope for the world of a place where we had the rule of law. And I didn't really know what rule of law meant, but it sort of meant to me that you got an honest shake. If you wound up in a court, then that it wasn't just a tyrant's playground. It was a place where there were rules about things that meant that tyrant couldn't just bully you and abuse you and do what they will, but rather they had rules to abide by. It was the rule of law, not the rule of tyrant. And in those days, that meant something. That meant that we had the Charter for the United States. We had the Bill of Rights in our Constitution, and that guaranteed, it didn't create rights for us. It guaranteed that our rights that are given to us by God, that are inalienable rights that we are born with, it guaranteed those rights would be respected and honored in the courts of law in our country, and that our country would not become a nation of tyrants or a nation ruled by tyranny. Because that is what the United States was sort of founded to avoid, was the tyranny that they felt they were being subjected to by the king, who was subjecting them to taxes and just really said, you know, we'll just tax them all we want. They're our colonies. We don't have to listen to them. And they said taxation without representation ought to be illegal. It is certainly unfair. It's certainly certain that it is immoral, that it breaks the moral laws of God, that it breaks the spirit of what is of goodness, that is the foundation of goodness on earth, and that there is something called goodness, that there's something called justice, that there's something called rightness, by which all people ought to be brought to abide by, so that lawlessness and cruelty and tyranny don't rule our world. And so the United States was founded on this idea that there would be a rule of law, that there would be courts that would uphold it, that we would make laws that were just and fair, that are and that we had a balanced government that had checks and balances, where the executive branch would have its own role that would be a balance to the legislative branch, that the legislative branch would design the laws according to the will of the people, and the way that they would ensure that is that they would be subjected to election, and the people would determine, well, who do we want representing us? Let's have it would be a democratically elected representative government, a representative democracy, a democracy within a republic. We would elect those that we felt would best represent our interests. They would be held to a standard that says you represent our interests, and you get to keep your job, and then the judiciary was designed not to write laws at all, but to say, okay, there's an issue of law where the law says thus and such, this particular thing, and the way that that should be interpreted is that the fair thing to do would be to do this. And so we had all these balanced things that were supposed to be in place, and when I was a kid, I kind of believed in that. I kind of believed that that was the country that I was being raised in. I kind of thought that that was a real thing, and maybe it was to some degree. Maybe in those days we really did have more just courts. It certainly seems so when I listen to the stories of the people around me, and I have friends who were treated unfairly at work, and they took that job, the people who've hired them to court, and they actually won, and they were forced to treat people fairly. In that, and you know, that kind of thing used to be something that was common and real in the United States of America, to be a country where laws meant something.
Right.
But do they mean anything anymore?
Exactly, and that's what our show is about tonight. So if you want to pick up your phone number and call into our radio show, and let's talk about this, 845-241-9962, you press a 1. 845-241-9962, you press a 1, and that's the same number you use every time you want to call into the show, or if you want to make a comment, or even if you want to be a guest on our radio show. Contact us at Face Us Radio, FACEUS Radio at hotmail.com, and we will talk about your story and see if we can get you up here live on our radio show. We have something like 350 shows that are archived. So if any of you want to go and listen to any of them, or if you want to give them to your family member because they don't believe you, what's going on, you know, in your case or your neighbors or somebody, you can tell them to go to Hidden Truth Revealed on Block Talk Radio, and you can receive those. Did you say something, Hillary?
I was just kind of like giggling because you know how people say, oh, no, you must be imagining this. This could never happen. He's like, no. Listen to the radio. You'll see that I'm not the only one. So I'll mention two things. Maybe they're a little bit, as the attorneys say, aside. Or the other one I love, Your Honor, a few housekeeping items before we get on with the show. In Florida, so we had Carol Berkowitz was the head of OPCG, the Office of Public and Professional Guardians, in Tallahassee, the capital. Then when the Rebecca Furley case really started hitting the press, she was forced to resign. in comes Richard Prudhomme. He was there for a while. He resigned. Then we had Shante Jones. She was hot off the press. She is a lawyer. She worked for Verizon, yes, the phone company, and she was with OPPG, I want to say 2, maybe 3 years. Well, through another victim, I found out that Shante Jones, her last day was this past Friday. She resigned. So, of course, my question to you, Robin, and Luann, my friend, who the huck is manning the ship? They don't have anyone to take her place. Supposedly, they're having a hard time replacing the head of the Office and Public Professional Guardians. So, you know, everyone is so nonchalant. Oh, we'll find someone sooner or later. But what happens to the seniors and the disabled community in Florida who are wards of the state, who are trying to reach someone or trying to get a complaint through, and there isn't a director of this government-based, taxpayer-funded program. And hopefully Adam Walzer will do, you know, a story, but it's just another letdown for the elderly community that Governor DeSantis and everyone wants you to believe that is so for the people, for the seniors, for the disabled, and it is it's not the truth. So that's number one. Number two, I think I've forgotten what number two is already. Number two is that Rebecca Fearley's sentencing. She took the nolle pro se. She'll take the guilty stuff, but no one will think that she pled guilty, thanks to the Latin saying. But her sentencing, and hopefully she'll get 5 years, I want to think that, will be March 23rd at 1:30 p.m. It's an in-person only in Tampa on Twig Street. I will be there with those on for sure. And are you still with me? Or
yes, we sure are.
Yeah, I'm taking this all down right now so I can put it out there.
I was going to tell you to wake up if you weren't. Now, my final road to so Lauren Book, she's a senator. She's very family-oriented. I can't say yay or nay, but she files a bill for this session, and the bill was a bill that would prohibit a dog, regardless of their size or gender, it would prohibit that dog from putting its head out the window while in a car. If you have an animal, a dog or a cat, or a mountain bear, they would have to be in some sort of cage. This, I mean, we've got so many issues to worry about, and this woman, I don't know who got to her, had this bill, thank God she withdrew it, that you couldn't have your dog have his head out the window. Just crazy. But look at this bill, which will definitely not be withdrawn. This is from yesterday, March 1st. And if you would indulge me, I will read what it pertains to. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yes, please,
yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So new Florida bill would limit lawsuits against senior living providers. New constraints would be placed on litigation filed against senior living facilities, including a ban on expert witnesses testifying on a contingency fee basis. Under provisions of a bill introduced this week, yesterday, in the Florida legislature, Representative Randall McGard, Republican Dade City, which is kind of near Marcy in Miami, introduced House Bill 1029 on Tuesday. The bill would place new rules on admitting evidence when senior residents make claims of rights violations, according to the bill's text. Tort reform backers see such provisions as sensible to reduce excessive litigation that can drive up senior living costs. See how they turn it around? The bill would prohibit adult children, any of us, of residents of senior living facilities
from receiving non-economic damages from litigation. The bill would update code regarding nursing homes and adult living facilities to create parity with existing medical malpractice protections. Similar laws regarding hospital litigations were changed in Florida recently. Current long-term liability law incentivizes plaintiffs to file lawsuits against any and every possible defendant. Maybe that's your family, but no one in my family and Robin's family and Luann's family is filing airy-fairy lawsuits against nursing facilities that have the best attorneys on file. And these defendants encourage the dubious use of expert witnesses outside of their scope of practice, says William Large, president of the Florida Justice Reform Institute. HB 1029 addresses these issues. And finally, civil litigation against long-term care facilities and other businesses has become an area of increasing concern for Florida lawmakers since over the decade, beginning in 2010, when the number of jury verdicts of 10 million or more has increased to 27.5%, according to Legal Reform. In addition, Florida has more nuclear verdicts per capita than any other state. A senior living study found that not having enough money saved for retirement was among the top fears of about half of all seniors. Legislation that mitigates excessive litigation against long-term, I mean, that's basically it. But the thing is, and I'll send it to you, Robin, Luann, and you can share it with Robin.
Okay.
So basically they're saying that if these facilities are sued, that's going to take away money, but I don't understand how that coincides with an elderly so they're going to have to raise their rates and the seniors might not have enough money to afford them. Well, that's even better because maybe more of them would take Medicare and Medicaid because most of the seniors would be below the $2,000 threshold for that. But that's just baloney that they want it to be that you or your children on your behalf cannot sue. What do you think about that?
I think that they're trying to do an end run around people that instead of, hey, let's look at why people are having so many problems with nursing homes and let's correct the endemic problems that nursing homes seem to have so that we take away the motivation for people who actually do have valid lawsuits. You know, I don't think these jury trials are a bunch of juries that go, oh yeah, this person's a real scammer, let's reward them. I think these jury trials are trials where if you've got a jury of people and they're looking at, wow, there's some real evidence here that there's some real abuse going on,
God,
these people need to be compensated for this horrible trauma that their family was put through, that their loved one was put in this institution, and we can't allow this to go on. We've got to punish institutions that are harmful to the people that they're supposed to care for. And so juries are deciding, hey, this is a very grievous offense for our elderly to be abused in a situation where they're supposed to be cared for, and we're going to absolutely make sure that they are punished severely. And now they're saying, oh, look how the severe punishments that are meted out by these jury trials are affecting our bottom line. We're not making as much money, and it's going to cost more because we're going to pass those costs on. So we need to limit the people that can sue us so that we'll be like pharmaceutical companies where we can harm everyone we want and no one can touch us. And that's
right.
Really
and, you know,
what they're striving
right.
for.
Let me say something to you. Let me say something, Robin. And also, these expert witnesses, we will find they're not expert witnesses, and they are to your benefit. So we don't want them. They're too expensive. And,
right.
you know.
Right.
It's expensive because
right.
we make all the money. Why would we have anyone, or why would you be allowed to have expert witness that would, you know, substantiate your claims?
Right, right. That's
oh,
definitely going to cut into our profit. If you've got expert
yeah.
witnesses that say, yes, indeed, there really is abuse going on, people really are being harmed, and there is a very valid reason why they should be compensated for the horrible treatment of their loved ones in the so-called care of these institutions.
But wait a minute, but listen to this. There is a law, and it's been coined or renamed the Free Kill Bill in Florida, that if you are in a catastrophic accident and you die, right, unless
uh-huh.
you have children that are financially, you know, attached to you under 18, or you cannot sue on their behalf. So, I mean, it's idiotic. If you have a girlfriend, if you have children who are over the age of 18, they cannot sue. And again, it all goes back to lawyers, and there are good lawyers, you know, on this Alex Murdoch case where, you know, he's up for, well, hopefully there'll be a verdict soon, that he is accused, and he's a lawyer, of killing his wife and killing his 20-something-year-old son because the cards were crumbling. He had stolen millions and millions of dollars from his clients, and he was just about found out. So he killed them, I guess, for their life insurance money. I don't know. But the prosecutors, and I don't think they're not getting the big bucks, the prosecutors. Boy, they are good people trying to get a conviction for this Alex Murdoch. So there are good lawyers who give their heart and soul, but in probate, we know that if they're smart, they won't even be in probate unless they are, you know, walking with the devil, so to speak. So it's just such a disappointment. I don't know, Luann and Robin, if you were on the hearing yesterday in Michigan. Were
no,
you?
No, we were not able to make it to that, no.
Well, I don't know a lot about the case other than it's a woman. She's in guardianship. So there was quite a few people, and it was her boyfriend. I think it was a show cause hearing, but the point that I'll make is that the boyfriend kept interrupting the judge. And you, when you're in a court setting, you know, unless you're in a court setting, you know, as a lawyer or a judge or as a court watcher on a daily or weekly basis, maybe, you know, you're excited, you're nervous, maybe you're interrupting the judge, which this gentleman did. Well, she said, I'm warning you. Let's say his name is Joe. Well, Joe interrupted her. He was put in jail yesterday, taken out by two deputy sheriffs, manhandling him, and he will be in jail for 90 days on contempt.
Gosh.
I honestly, I've never seen, I know people have gone to jail, but she said, you are going to jail for 90 days. And he said, I have surgery planned next week. She goes, I don't care. And he was let out, pushed out, hustled out by two deputies, and he was there because he was trying to become his girlfriend. I think she is her guardian.
Good God. Good God Almighty. That is an example of judges with too much power. These judges have unbridled power. You have surgery scheduled. I don't care. You know, your
it's
life
so
is threatened by my actions. I don't care.
It's so bad. It's so bad. You know, we talk about this all the time, and I know there's a lot of corrupted attorneys. There's a lot of good attorneys, But the judges are given the okay to all these attorneys and these Office of Public Guardians. They're giving them to all these people that have corrupted society the okay to take one's property, to put isolate a person. To me, it just is so unbearable sometimes to listen to. We hear about it every day. I've got three more cases that came to Colorado, you know, that I'm working on right now. You know, we're going to be doing a huge, hopefully a huge coming up. We're not sure exactly what's going on. But I just found out that the Office of Public Guardian is about to move into every single city here that the legislators passed here in Colorado to go to every single city. These are the same guardians that aren't even taking care of the people that are paying. You know,
okay,
the whole thing is so awful. Anyway, let's bring on some of these guests, our listeners that we have.
We do have some people with their hands raised.
Yeah.
And we did advise that this would be an open mic, so let's hear what
people
have
good,
to say.
That's good, Hillary, that you brought all that up. It's good to get this information out to everybody.
I may circle back around and have some things to say about it, but let's bring some more guests.
I'm sure you'll have things to say about it. Yeah. Let's bring on a 407 number. They have their hand raised. You have a question or a comment? We have open mic tonight.
407, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Unmute yourself. Are you there?
Right. We're going to give them an extra second here.
Your area code is 407.
Right. If you press
you
a 1, if you press a 1, it means that you'd like to speak on our show. So I just want to let you know.
Hello?
Hi. This is Bonnie Carter.
Hi,
Bonnie.
Bonnie.
Welcome to the show.
Hi. I am sorry.
Hi.
I'm a little out of it technically, but I wanted to ask what the charge was for the arrest of the gentleman in the judge's court.
I think Bonnie, it was contempt of court that he was asked to be quiet and he was not.
I had an experience like that slightly, and the judge put me she put me on the back bench. She says she didn't want me talking to my attorney during something, and I guess I broke the rules, so she put me on the back bench. But the issue is that there's no judicial discretion, as abusive as it is, that goes punished. The judicial qualifying committees let these judges go. There's no control. They always rule for them. If you make a complaint against them, they just, you know, it seems like it's socialism to me. I mean,
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think of it, Bonnie, I think of it kind of like if you had a couple of guys come to your place of business, say, hey, look, buddy, we represent a group of fellas that think that you need to pay us if you want to operate in our neighborhood, and they rough you up and they beat up your family and friends, and they say, you want that to stop, then you just need to start paying us. And you figure out, oh, well, that's the thing. Well, do you have a boss? Yeah, we've got a boss, and you can go talk to him. And you go and talk to the guy, and it's kind of an organized crime organization. And the boss says, well, you got two choices. You can pay, or you can have your business burned down. And it's, you know, and then you realize, oh, this is organized crime, and these people are being defended by their overlords, and so there's really no recourse. And astoundingly to me, that's kind of what our courts look like these days. These attorneys can do any damn thing they please to you, and the judges are 10 times worse. They're the mob bosses that are the overlords in this whole scenario that I'm painting, where you got the mob coming in and extorting money from you, and you try to do something about it, and the bosses laugh at you and say, well, you know, it'll get a lot worse. It can get a lot worse, or you can just deal with how bad it is, and that's your choice. And really, we're looking at organized crime organizations that are masquerading as our courts.
Yeah.
They're no longer operating as the courts that were designed to have checks and balances, as courts that were designed to promote the cause of justice. They have become organized crime organizations. And I don't mean every court in the nation, because there are judges who are honest people and will do an honest job and do strive to uphold justice and to do right. And there are lawyers who strive to be honest and work for the benefit of their clients and who do a lot of good in this world. But there are those who are absolutely corrupt as corrupt can be, and those I oppose wholeheartedly, and I stand with those that are the honest judges and the honest attorneys who are doing right by their clients, in opposing those who are corrupt and who are destroying our system of justice through the corruption that they embody.
Yeah, and I just want to touch on one more thing about that, Bonnie. We have an attorney named Phil Ross. He's known as the Maverick out in Texas. He has put in his resignation. He is no longer going to be able to be an attorney anymore. He was facing the bar, and everybody started coming after him because he was sticking up for his clients. All kinds of things have been going on with him. But from what I heard, he is resigning. And to me, I think that's just awful.
Another attorney being driven out of the court by unethical opposition by those who are using the courts to their own advantage to foster what appears to me to be basically organized crime organizations.
Right. So we're going to try to get him up onto the radio show. I'm not sure what's next, but I'm going to try to to talk about that. And I also might have Leslie Puerto Rico come join us too. Might as well.
There's another one that's facing tremendous opposition by the Bar Association.
I think that's a very powerful show.
And that's, and we feel that there's a lot of unethical behavior and immoral behavior going on in attacking these attorneys who stand up for their clients and do right by their clients and do their best to strive to serve their clients honorably. And then the courts retaliate not only against their clients, but against them when they vigorously defend the people that they are hired to vigorously defend.
It used to be that attorneys could come in and defend whoever they wanted to, and if they won, great, they were a great attorney. But nowadays, if an attorney comes in there and defends a lot of clients, the opposition doesn't like it because that takes money away from them.
Well, that's
the only reason I can explain it.
It appears to me that what we have now are judges who run their courts like little fiefdoms.
Yeah.
Like, this is my kingdom. It's like the overlords and think some third world nation that is run by overlords that have their territory, and if you come into their territory, you're going to pay the piper. You're just going to have to deal with the criminal element that is under the authority of those overlords, and these courts are run like criminal gangs. And the attorneys become they become criminal. And when I say that, it sounds extreme to those that do not understand that what it is the absolute truth.
Right.
That these are people who are kidnapping and murdering, robbing, bribing.
We've heard so much on the show.
And each of these charges that I'm making come right out of the archives of personal witnesses that I have spoken to and paperwork that I have looked at. So none of these things that I'm saying are inaccurate. They're all based on absolute truth.
People tell us.
And that's And that's the reality of the situation that we're dealing with in our courts today.
Right.
So we have to recognize that it's not what it used to be, and that if we believe that there's justice in our court system, then there's a very, very high probability that we are very sadly mistaken, unless you're talking about a particular court with a particular judge and in which there is some exercise of the principle of law, of observing the rule of law, where people get a fair shake. And that's rarer and rarer these days. It's really sad, but it's true. It's very rare these days. Well, it looks like we have another person with their hand raised. Shall we see what they have to say?
Yeah, let's go ahead and see what they have to say. 616, you're live on Faceless Radio. It's open mic tonight.
616, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome. Hi, this is Brandy. I'm Brandy Ritzma.
Uh-huh, yeah, thanks
Hi,
for going in.
And I'm in Michigan and facing a lot of this hardship myself. And what you guys are speaking of what they're doing in Florida, is really confusing me because there's slap laws and anti-slap laws that prevent this kind of abuse and the RICO Act. So I don't understand how legislation is getting away with making new laws to make a gray area with the ones we already have.
Because they can, because the Bar Association has huge lobbyists that all they do is lobby for these bills, and they go in front of the legislators who are usually a good majority of them, their attorneys, and who knows what kind of donations they get. I mean, there are good bills, but boy, are there a lot of duds
right.
as well.
Like right now, I'm trying to get guardianship of my mother, and my mother agrees, the interested parties agree, and the nursing home went and hired a lawyer. When they're not an interested party to the case, they hired a lawyer to stop me from getting guardianship and told the court that the nursing home refuses to speak to me because I've reported them over 20 times. That's my job as a daughter, and I'm sorry that you've had to pay a lot in fines because you're negligent, but that did not stop me from helping my mother.
Right.
Right. And that's,
well, you're,
you know, something.
Supposed to report those kind of things.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know,
and I'm being
retaliated against.
It's like
when you go to the store, it's like going to the store and taking something back to the store that's rotten. You've got to report those kind of things, you know?
Yep.
It just reminds me of the same policies, and you would not be a good daughter if you did not report stuff like that.
Right.
Seriously.
Well, they had me illegally detained in November and trespassed, so I wasn't even allowed in for months. And then I made a YouTube with the public body cam footage, and that went viral. And they got a whole bunch, like 200,000 calls supposedly in a week, which I doubt, but if they did, more power to you. But by me putting that out online, it's sharing the truth with a lot of people. A lot of people don't realize what's going on, but these places, I know Tammy, I think she's listening in right now. She's going through some horror with her son right now. She hasn't even been allowed into where her son is living for over 12 years. I just don't understand how these people are getting away with it.
12 years?
Yes.
I have a friend right now that's up in Oregon where they took her a handicapped daughter away, and she hasn't been able to see her for like 6 or 7 years now, so I understand how that's being done. I just think it's
I know so many horror stories, and it's just like I don't understand what the point is of having laws if they're not followed. What's the point of having laws if they're just going to find another law to bend to the other one and twist it? It's just the most egregious, nefarious things you can do to any citizen in America.
Yeah, it truly is.
Mm-hmm. That's unfortunately the truth.
It's unconscionable, the things that go on and that are allowed to go on and are covered up.
Yeah.
It certainly is. And I believe that much of what they do is unconstitutional. And I think, you know, that because our Constitution does guarantee rights, we have the Bill of Rights. And I think that's something that has been grievously neglected in the education of the vast majority of people. I can't tell you, I can't elucidate, run down the Bill of Rights for you, but really every citizen should be able to. Because if we don't know our rights, then we can't guarantee our rights when they're infringed. And
well, I always like to say, if we don't exercise our rights like they're muscles, we'll lose them. So
we have to
use what we have at our disposal. And that's the thing, is a lot of people are just either too overwhelmed or they're just not aware. And when you do stand up, you're silenced. Like at the first thing, most people give up. Oh, I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. And there's a lot you can do. And like right now, I'm fighting against a $93 billion company, and I have no lawyer. I feel like I can fight it better than a lawyer, because the lawyers aren't there to serve me. They're there to serve the court.
Right, and that is something that a lot of people are unaware of, that your lawyer, whoever your lawyer is and whatever court they're operating in, has mixed allegiances at best. And those allegiances are, you've hired that lawyer to represent your interests, but that lawyer is an instrument of the court. They also operate an instrument of that corporate entity that is that court, and they're in service to that corporate entity that is that court, which means they have an allegiance to the court, to that judge, to that court, and they have that allegiance. And that will supersede your interests if there's a conflict between the two, let me tell you.
Yep.
Right, and also we've been writing a book, right? We've been writing a book, and I found out that attorneys charge every 6 minute increment. So that if you talk to them for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, they charge you for 6 minutes.
Hmm.
They charge up to $200 to $450 an hour. Think about the math on that.
And
Michigan, how much you're being charged.
$800 for a half hour.
Talk to you. Right. Just to think about that. So, you know, when you go into a court, if you know some knowledge about a court and you go pro se, I think that's the only way to go nowadays, because what are they going to say to you? No. What are they going to say to you with an attorney? No. But for about $100,000 less. Okay?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Oh, Lord.
Just to get a point out there.
I started going
around
with a body cam. And I started making calls for free consultations before I filed in court for my mom. I just wanted to gather, like, a whole bunch of lawyers' opinions. And I haven't started to, because they're my conversations, and in Michigan it's a one-party state, so they don't know that I was recording, but I do. And every single lawyer that I went to go meet, and I was doing it on my behalf to get guardianship of my mother, not for my mom, every single one was like, oh, we'll charge at least $4,000 to the estate. I think that was the lowest number that I heard. And I'm like, first of all, why are you going to charge my mom's estate when I'm asking you to help me? Not like, this is ridiculous.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the thing is, they know that the way the court works is you capture the queen, or you capture the king, you capture an individual that has some resources, that has some money, that has some ability to finance a court action. Capture that one. Because then once you've captured them, then you put them into a situation where you say, well, gosh, you know what, you can't really handle what you have here, this money and resources, so we're going to assign somebody to handle the money and resources. And if you protest too much, why, we'll just assign somebody to make every decision that in the world for you, including what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to, you know. And so now that I've captured the queen, I've got all the resources that are the main part of what's available to that family, If the family doesn't like it, good, go hire a lawyer, and sure, spend your own money on that lawyer, because it doesn't matter if that lawyer, but that lawyer is going to come to that court knowing that if they do something that you don't like, that judge is going to look at them and say, don't worry, I've got mama's piggy bank here, and I'm going to make sure you get paid for doing what you're, for doing what the court prefers you do, rather than what is
and
best for your client.
And if mommy's piggy bank runs out and you owe them attorney fees,
my mom doesn't have an estate
in your house.
Because they were
That's
expecting
right.
me. Yeah, they expected me to pay because my mom doesn't have an estate no more. And I have already done everything. I just need a lawyer to represent me. And then the one lady kicked me out of her office. So when I wouldn't sign the paperwork, like, I'm not agreeing to any of this. This is ridiculous when I can help you. I just need help. I'm not saying do things for me. And she didn't like that. So I left her office and I was like, what a bitch. Excuse my French, but like you're sitting here attacking me because I'm coming to you for help and then telling me that it's going to take all this, that, and that. So I've kind of stayed one step ahead. And when I went to court February 15, they postponed court until March 22nd. So we didn't even get to be heard. So because the nursing home lawyer showed up and I already filed paperwork with statutes and laws to show that nobody's allowed to knowingly interfere with the process.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. You've got to dig
well,
into the
statute. Well, you'll have to keep in touch with us, let us know what happens. I mean, it's definitely, we want to see how pro se litigants are doing on their own. I think it's important because if a lot of people can go into court and they could do what an attorney would do, then who needs an attorney? And a lot of people are going to be saving a lot of money, aren't they? And they're not going to be getting
huge
bills.
Oh, yeah, I've already helped a lot of people.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm continuing to help people right here in Michigan, and it's like I the case that happened yesterday, I was not online for, but I'm not familiar with them directly, but been watching what's going on. And he got sent to jail for 90 days in contempt of court for what? For speaking truth?
Probably, yeah. I think, you know, that's something that judges, they want to control a courtroom, and they're out of control because they don't really recognize and acknowledge that they've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution.
It's abuse of discretion.
Guarantees the rights of the people in front of them, and so they don't guarantee those rights. They violate those rights all the time, regularly and without compunction. And the problem being, people who don't know their rights will have those rights violated and not realize that, hey, you can't really do that. That's against your own, you know, that's against what you've pledged to do. And it's because really in a courtroom like that, it's going to be very hard to accomplish very much. But if you know, then you can at least make a stand, make a point of saying, hey, look, this is you're violating my rights here. I'm guaranteed by the Constitution, thus and such. And I don't agree to these contracts that you're trying to make. Every court in the nation has to abide by the Universal Commercial Code.
Right.
And there are statutes in that code, that basically say what we're talking about is contract law.
Right.
So there has to be, for there to be a contract, there has to be agreement between parties of some kind.
Both parties.
And so if you go into court and you're not agreeing to what they're trying to shove down your throat, oftentimes, if you know how to approach that situation, you can defuse, by knowing your rights, you can defuse when they try to take them away. But if you don't know how to do that and what the rules of court are and how to approach that, then that's when you can get into trouble. And, of course, they're going to try to put you in trouble anyway. That's what they're doing. They're trying to abuse you. They're trying to take advantage. They want to take advantage of your ignorance. And if you're not ignorant, it just makes it that much more difficult. If you if you happen to know what they're doing, then now they have a little bit of a problem, and it can turn into a big problem for them if it's approached in, you know, in a way that, that does create problems for them. So I don't, you know, I don't claim to be an authority, but I do know that by asserting yourself properly in a courtroom, you're going to fare better than going along with a bunch of stuff that you don't really agree to and assent to.
Right. You just got to make sure you're studying the probate court process in your county, and you got to study that book. It's available in every county court, every circuit court. They have a probate book process, and you can study that thing in and out. And then you want to read the statutes and laws, and you want to start digging. You want to start looking at maybe some Supreme cases in your state and see any case law, and then go. You'll end up in a hole, and you won't stop. And you'll be surprised how angry you get when you read the actual laws and what's going on. And that's what empowers me to stand up and get louder, like, oh, no, this is wrong.
Right.
And
yeah.
They don't like that.
Right.
Have you been able to see your mom at all?
I was allowed back in because I made a YouTube with phone calls recorded just from October until now with what's going on with the body cam of me getting illegally detained. So I'm allowed back in, but they do not like it. They've tried to file charges on me now. October 27th, they first called the police to say I was exploiting my mother by sharing photos of her on social media. Are you kidding me? That's my mother. I've been sharing photos of her on social media since social media began. Like, what in the world? So then I didn't know what was going on. Nobody told me anything. And then I didn't know. So they called the police on me on a Thursday. They talked to the police. The police talked to my mom, interrogated my mom, who's under guardianship, mind you. So, like, everything is so crazy. And then on October 28th, the following day, they called me at 5 p.m. to tell me that I wasn't allowed to come see my mom no more due to an investigation. And I said, due to what investigation? Like, what in the heck is going on? And they said, due to an investigation because I'm exploiting my mom. And I'm like, that's not exploitation. I hope you all can sleep at night. And I recorded everything. Thank God I record all my phone calls and everything with them. So they don't like that. I can verify everything. So then Monday comes around. It's Halloween, October 31st. They call me about 4 p.m. that day to tell me their investigation is over. And I'm allowed to see my mom, but it would have to be in supervised visits. And I said, excuse me? Who made that decision? Adult Protective Services, the courts, nobody's even talked to me. Like, and I didn't know that they had called the police on me at that point. So then when I found out that their investigation was over, I was like, who's investigating me? So I went to their police department the city the home's in, and spoke to a sergeant, and he ended up giving me the incident report, which told me a whole lot, like, that I needed to dig some more. Like, they're trying to file charges on me? Get out of here. So thank God I knew to figure it out for myself, or I would be snowballed right now. So if I hadn't have been diligent and doing everything that, like, I just thank God above. God's the one guiding me, telling me what to do and when to do it. So thank God I did all of that. And then I stayed away from my mom because I seen that they were trying to have me trespassed. That was in the police report. So, but yet nobody had told me that. They just told me I needed supervised visits. So I didn't need to go in there for them to have me arrested falsely. So, like, what's going on? So then I talked to a few lawyers, and I was never served with anything, never talked to anybody. So I pressed my luck and went in there one day, and nobody stopped me. So I went in and I go out, Mom, don't be surprised if they see that I'm in here. They're probably going to call the police. And sure enough, not even 5 minutes later, that's the day I got detained on November 14th. So then I was detained and she called the police and told the police that I slammed a door in her face and that I refused to talk to her. Everything was a lie and everything was opposite of what she told the police 2 weeks prior.
How long were you in jail for?
I didn't go to jail. I was just detained and they told me I had to leave the facility. So I left. Well, you know, I didn't want to, but I left. And as soon as I walked out of the facility, the cop grabbed me from behind and, like, acted like he was going to detain me. And so when I asked why they were detaining me, they said so they could identify me. And, like, what in the hell is going on? You don't need my ID to identify me. You already know who I am if they've called you on me. And you guys have already been investigating me. Like, what the hell is going on here? So I started recording from my phone and being like, I'm being detained because I won't give them my ID. I've done nothing wrong. I've committed no crime. My mom told them on body cam both times that she knew I take photos of her, that I had her permission. They, like, act like my mom is stupid, and she's not. And that's a lot of times when people go to the hospitals or they're in accidents, they're forced into guardianship when they're not even coherent or they're drugged up. So it's like my mom's been asking and begging. So long story short, I was detained for a whole maybe 15 minutes while I cited law to them and told them they were all messing up big time and that I was going to make them all super famous, because then they were like, oh, you're being disorderly. I go, oh, I'm being disorderly right now? Oh, I see what I did.
Well, you know, that's the nice thing is that that all of these various officials, whether it's court officials or police or attorneys, they really do have rules that they're supposed to live by. And they really do have pledges that they make that they will live by the rules of that profession. And, you know, those are requirements of the job. So if you have like if they're hassling you and you happen to be on live at the moment or making recordings at the moment, and you know, and they are running afoul of the law, and they are doing things that are really not permitted, they're not permitted to do, that goes outside the range of what they're allowed to do. I mean, like a police officer, for instance, must have probable cause of some kind that either he sees you're committing a crime or he has reason to believe that you are a person who has committed a crime.
Yep, I told them the only time they need my ID if I'm trespassing is if I come back and that's when they can detain me, that's when they can ID me. Like it makes no sense, and I cited a whole bunch of case law to the police. And I think they knew I knew my shit. So that's when they took me out of the cuffs, and then they sat there and they're like, well, don't come back or it becomes criminal. I'm like, y'all are making no sense and they're going to be in a world of hurt, because 42 CFR 483.10 is the rights of people under guardianship. And when you're in a home or you're in a private home, you are not allowed to stop. It's not considered private property for immediate family. You're not allowed to stop immediate family unless you have a court order.
Right. Yeah, that's from Medicaid. I think they have where you can also meet them in a private, in a room in the front lobby, where you should be allowed to visit them. From what I heard also.
Mom's home.
Mm-hmm. That's your mom's home.
That's her home. I should be able to go to my mom's house, and maybe it's not a house exactly like everybody pictures, but that's my mom's house, and I should be allowed to go visit her. And I kept telling the cops, what you're doing is wrong. What she's doing is wrong, and they're just doing it because I'm not posting just pictures of my mom. I'm also exposing all the criminal, neglectful care that they give my mom. And my mom, and I'm a rare case. most people, when you're in nursing homes or these homes, you're not in them for a long time. You're only in there for the end of your life. And my mom has been in this, she's been hurt for 23 years now. She's been in this particular home for almost 18 years. And I've been documenting with video and recordings for over 10.
Wow.
Wow,
yeah,
good
so,
for you.
So it would seem that you rather know a bit about what you're doing by now.
Yep. And I
for those
keep getting...
Of us, for those of us that were a little slow with our pen, you said that you quoted a law that was 42 CFR. What was it?
42 CFR 483.10. That's the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Patient Rights.
Right.
Yeah, that's
tell
good
you
to
everything,
know.
I know a whole lot more. And then for like Guardians, they're pretty much Michigan penal codes, but
what's
the
next
one is 583. Hold on. 700.5306. Hold on. Let me check this. I got the paperwork right here, but I use this all in my complaints and they still didn't acknowledge it. Like, are you kidding me? I got it all right here on paper and people are ignoring me.
So when is your next court date?
March 22nd.
Hang on, look at the law for me.
Okay, go ahead.
700.5512, 700.5314, and those are all under Act 386 of 1998. And then there's 42 CFR 48310. There's 48312, 48312C, and then 234. You'll go down a rabbit hole. You just start reading these statutes, and you can Google these things. And it's like, if we don't armor ourselves with the actual laws and state them, they have to rebuttal that, you know. And if you're not filing it in the courts, and that's what a lot of these lawyers are not doing. They're telling
right.
you, oh, we're going to argue it in court, but they're not telling you that if it's not filed with the clerk of court, your objection or your motion, and it's not on that motion or on that objection, it's not going to be discussed in court.
And that is where it is important for you to do your own research, honestly, your own research into case law, because case law sets up precedent, which is the law that preceded something that happened in a court that preceded what's happening now, happened before you, and you're coming into court now, and there's already a precedent that this law is interpreted by a judge to mean this, and if a judge breaks a precedent, they better have a damn good reason, or it's going to get thrown out on review. You're going to be able to appeal that. And that's going to mean that judge then has the embarrassment of being told, oh, you know what? You screwed up here, pal. You're really not all you're cracked up to be, because you're making mistakes. And so this is the importance. And I want our listeners to kind of get this, because this is a person who's going up against people in court and having a fair amount of success. And the way that's happening is, because she's learned, she's been at it a while and been going down that rabbit hole of learning the applicable laws.
Yeah.
Robin, I've spent probably $30,000 over the last 20 years between lawyers and being harmed by the system. Like, I was put on some secret registry in the courts as a child abuser. I've never been arrested in my life. And I work for a school and a police department part-time, so how in the heck am I on this registry, and how did I get my jobs and keep my jobs? Like, nothing makes sense about the world. And I had to stop doing for my mom and make sure I took care of that, and that took me 4 years to accomplish, and I've heard that's impossible, and I just finished that, and I filed for my mom immediately after. So now they have nothing against me that they can use in the court of law, and I think they're all, like, shaking their heads, oh, she's figured it out. And so then I think that's why when we went to court February 15, they didn't hear the case and rescheduled it for March 22nd so they can figure out how they're going to go about this now, because I filed statutes and I filed it with the clerk. And I notarized
and that's
it.
Where they're actually kind of behind an eight ball, and they and you've put them where they really know that it's going to be hard for them to rule against you. And that's one reason why they try to stomp down people who do pro se by pretending that you don't have the rights that you actually do and pretending that they can just bully you when they're not really permitted to.
Yeah.
And
just got a lot of good information on that. And remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that's another reason to study the process, because even if, say, you get a letter saying they're dismissing the case, you have to go back into that probate with your county or your wherever you are in court and look at their probate file and see how many days you have to appeal it, what motions, like it tells you everything you need to know. You just have to be able to dissect it, and it's a lot. It's overwhelming, to be honest. So that's where I'm lucky, and I know a lot of people, so we all collectively, hey, what do you gather from this, or do you know what to do now? So and I found a lot
thing.
Of help with constitutionalists.
Say one thing, and it's three words. Knowledge is power. I knew nothing about the laws, guardianship, probate laws. And when my dad was, you know, hustled into a guardianship and then finding out that no one was going to help, it landed even my attorney that I would have to be proactive. And, I mean, I'm quite proud of what I do know, and I don't know the laws extensively, but so many of the players in courts don't even know the laws, which is sometimes good. But knowledge is power, and you are a prime example that you were proactive, and instead of waiting for someone to help you, you helped yourself. So you should be very, very pleased with yourself. It is just awesome to hear what you've done.
Well, I haven't done it yet. I'm working on it. But we go back to court March 22nd, and I'm just afraid they're going to file something at the dead of the moment that I don't know about, that I can't rebut in time or get to the interested parties in time or subpoena somebody in time to counteract. So hopefully I filed enough.
You know, are these on Zoom calls, what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, they wouldn't. I had people court watching, and they didn't let nobody in. I had witnesses ready. Your Honor, this person's on Zoom and you're wherever they put them in a separate room to watch. But yeah, they wouldn't let nobody in. But then they let them into the hearing that was after ours. Make that make sense.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I want to mention for the benefit of our listeners that all of our shows are archived. So we've got a lot of good information. There were several specific laws that were discussed, and if you didn't get those, you know, didn't get notes about those, you can always go back and look up this show, look up March 1st, look Faceless Radio, are courts completely lawless, or is there hope? And you can find the archive for this show once we've completed the show, then it will be archived. You go to blogtalkradio.com/hiddentruthrevealed. And Hidden Truth Revealed is the channel of Blog Talk Radio that we are. It's our channel. So if you go to Hidden Truth Revealed at Blog Talk Radio, you're going to find those archives, and you'll be able, and of course, there's a very rich resource for all of us, any of us who want to learn more or remember what we've been taught or remember what, you know, what our guests have had to say. That's a tremendous resource. So feel free to avail yourself of blogtalkradio.com/hiddentruthrevealed, and that'll help you to keep track of some of the excellent material that we cover here.
Yeah, or you could go Google your state statutes for protected individuals.
There you go.
Good to know. You're a pretty smart cookie there. Hey, we're going to keep you live on the show with us. Just stay with us. But if you want to intervene, you can. We're going to bring in another caller. It's a 616 number.
Same here.
616. Hi, you're on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, 616. You're live.
Area code 616. Hello. You had your hand raised.
It might be. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, I didn't even know it. I wasn't even trying. I was listening to Brady.
Hi, Sally. Well, good. Thanks for calling in. I mean, usually if you have a 616 and you push a 1, that will put a little hand up next to our show and we'll say that someone wants to talk to us or they have a comment or something. And then we usually push that on and that will bring you live. So, hey, if there's anything you want to add while you're on, you might as well.
Right.
Oh, well, I think I'll do that, huh, Brandy?
I think how about, good.
Yeah.
How about if they take a child away for a cookie?
What? Say that again.
CPS took my grandchild because I offered her a cookie one day finish her lunch. Yeah.
You offered her a cookie?
Oh yeah, I did.
Oh my God. How this
is. Can you give us a little bit more detail about just what happened?
I'm trying.
I'd love to know more. That's very intriguing.
Oh my gosh.
You've got my interest.
They shouldn't have started a CPS case no matter what anyhow because my daughter had given me the right of care of my grandchild and there's statute that says the court cannot take jurisdiction if the parent gives right of care of a child to someone who is willing and able. And, you know, there's no dispute as to who wants the child. So they shouldn't have started the case to begin with. But they took my granddaughter because she didn't like to eat. She was 4 years old, and she really had no use for food. And the caseworker, my daughter's case, came to visit, and she was eating lunch, and I wanted her to talk to the social worker. And I said to her, sweetheart, if you finish your lunch, I'll give you a cookie. They hauled me into court. And the judge says to me, you cannot bribe a child with a cookie in the state of Michigan. And she says, this is a wonderful child. We're taking her. And I did. She's been gone 18
years. And not to mention that this case was against your daughter, Sally, and they took her from you, and there was no case on you.
That's right. There wasn't.
Oh.
Nope.
My God,
but
I'm so greenless.
If
that's not an example of pure abuse
of the court authority, I don't know what is. That's
I know.
Yep,
they never
she, also has, yeah. she also has guardianship nightmare.
Yeah,
oh
I
God.
Do. My sister, well, that's another whole thing.
That's a different kind of worm.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God. They ended up, she died at the end of October. She shouldn't have died. She went to a nursing home because she had a broken foot, you know, and she had a guardian and the guardian just did nothing for her, sold all her stuff, got rid of everything and left her there. And
put the life insurance policy out on her.
The what?
Oh my gosh, you guys are in the same area code too.
The guardian.
The
guardian put the life insurance policy out on her sister
before she
passed away.
Yeah. Come to find out, though I've been investigating that, and you know, basically it was only enough to bury her, but nevertheless. You know, my sister was paying for that out of her money, you know, and she didn't need to. So anyway, but nevertheless,
I don't think anybody made any money off that. I've just found that out in the last couple of days. But she didn't need to die. There wasn't any reason for her to become a permanent resident of the nursing home. But that's what the guardian did, you know. And
the
I went
into nursing home banned you.
Yeah, they did.
No,
they banned me.
You think sometimes about these nursing homes, you know, you think of, you know, the nursing home that my mom was in was a wonderful nursing home. They called me for everything, and they were so good. So many people there here in Colorado, one of them that I know of. But when I think of all these other nursing homes and how these attorneys can just come in and say, hey, that's my person here now. This, you don't have no right to your mom. We have her. Or your dad. I think it's so cruel.
Well, I think Bonnie being, you know, we're going to trespass you, we're going to prosecute you, you're not permitted to be here, we're detaining you because you're not going to show us an ID even though we know who you are, you know. I mean,
back on, Hillary.
Thanks.
These things are examples of the abuses that we deal with and that we see and that are reported to us every day.
Yeah, Hillary, don't we hear about this every day? I mean, I'm sure you do.
Did we keep Hillary? Did we lose
Hillary?
Hillary
is definitely on with
us. Hey, Sally. Sally, your granddaughter, when they took your granddaughter, didn't that same night that they took her from the home, she was in the home of the people who ended up adopting her?
Oh, yes. They had that all arranged, her adoption and everything, before they ever took her from me.
Yeah.
Oh, this is not getting any better than it did the first time you called in. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's state statute that says they can't do that. They cannot put a child into a foster home. Where they are then adopted. But they do that all the time now, even though they haven't changed the statute. But, you know, they didn't even do termination of my daughter's rights regarding my granddaughter for 7 months after they took her away from me, you know. And
wow.
So they had that all arranged. And our CASA, our court-appointed special advocate, she was very much on our side, and usually CASAs are not. Usually they're on the court side. But she was not, and she gave me the information about the fact that she was to be adopted by those people and that the agency was just taking the child because they wanted her to sell her so that they could get the federal funding from Social Security Title IV, E.
Title IV,
well,
D, and
how old is she now, and have you been able to see her, your granddaughter?
She's 23 now, and she has been brainwashed so badly that it's a hard thing to even get close to her in any way. But she has recently written me and said the people that adopted her will not help her pay for college or sign for her to have her own loans. And she wrote me and she said, if I let you into my life in some small way, will you sign for my college? And I said, of course I will. Your blood, you know, I love you, you know, so. But whether or not that ever happens, and, you know, there is no constant, call or writing or texting or anything. So I guess I just wait till she either writes me and says, okay, I'd like you to sign for my college education. So,
yeah,
but
wow.
Her,
I think
the
twice
people
when I get my granddaughter, yeah, I'll tell you. Oh my gosh. Well, gosh, I just want to thank all of you guys so much for going into the show. I mean, we did this at the spur of the moment here, just putting one up, but it's a very important topic. I agree that everybody that's been listening to the show, it's powerful. It's powerful to come and talk about it. It's powerful to, you know, strategize, talk about what has gone and what you need to do in a court setting, all kinds of stuff that people come together and talk about.
I think one thing that is clear from tonight's show is that if there is any justice in the court, it is something that you really must fight for.
Yeah.
No one is going to grant you justice just because they're a bunch of nice folks that believe in justice, truth, and the American way. That doesn't happen. I mean, maybe it does somewhere. God bless everyone. I'd love to believe that there are courtrooms where you walk in and the judge is on your side because he just says there has to be somewhere that's going to be just in this country that has to uphold what we really do stand for.
Right.
I'd love to see that. I hope that it's true. But it appears to me that if there's going to be any justice at all in any courtroom in America, you've got to stand up and fight for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're
guilty until we prove ourselves innocent.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
Exactly.
It has become a situation where we are guilty until we prove ourselves innocent. And that isn't the way it was designed, but it is certainly the way that it has developed into. Here we have a woman who offered her child a cookie if she would just behave well for the nice lady that came to talk to her. And the nice lady that came to talk to her used that as a crowbar to crowbar that child out of that family and give it to somebody else. Why? Because that child is a profitable commodity in today's world, and she could make a lot of money by making that assignment child away from her loving grandmother to a family that had nothing to do with it.
I'm not saying subject then. You know, we have like 1,000 people asking me today, how is Roger Hilligus doing? You know, in Washoe County.
Right.
And I keep people talking to me all the time. Do you have a reliable source? I said, yes, I do. I got about 50 of them.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, from what I heard, and everyone's been asking me, something happened to Roger over the weekend. I'm not sure exactly what happened. He got hurt or something. I just want everybody to know that I'm keeping up to date with several people, not just one or two, a whole bunch of people. I know that Washoe County has been listening in. You know, for radio shows, if you do, please stop
abusing,
stop hurting people, and
harming
to these guys, and find out the real truth. Why these guys, Stuart Henke and Roger Hilligus, what happened to the mother? Why are they not reporting anything about her and into an abusive guardianship? If she was, I'm just saying that we need to go and search further than that. Why these two people are being so mistreated.
Persecuted and prosecuted for a rescue of a person from a situation that they felt was truly harmful and dangerous and hazarding her life. And they said, look, we got to do something. We got to do the best we can to save her life. And there was it was not like they went in with guns blazing. They went in with a piece of paper that they believed and that they understood to be real.
Right.
And the people who saw that piece of paper said, well, yeah, I guess that is real. Yeah, okay. And they walked out with permission from everybody. There was no issue then. And they took her to the place where she wanted to go, and they did with her what she wanted them to do, which was to go and see the people that she loved. And now we've got one in prison and one being threatened with prison for doing right. For doing what any caring son would do, what any caring friend would do, to try to rescue someone who is in dire need of being rescued because they're in danger
every one
of physical harm.
And everyone on this radio show tonight would be rescuing that person, that loved one. I can tell you,
exactly.
I've had about 300 different, we've had 350 different
panels.
And I tell you that we've had, I would say, 100 of them people saying, I wanted to rescue my mother. I was one of them. I actually planned to rescue my mother. I did the same exact thing. I wouldn't. Why are we being criminalized for loving our parents and our loved ones?
Yeah, that's the question.
Why?
That's the question.
That's the name of my research
page.
Why are you criminalizing people for loving their parents?
Right.
Do you hate
my
your
the
own?
Name, The name of my YouTube page is Criminalized for Being Family.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead and tell us more about that. We've got about 2 minutes to the end of the show.
That's just the name of my YouTube page is Criminalized for Being Family. My TikTok, it's under the same thing. The TikTok shows a lot more, and that's what they were mad about and saying exploitation because my Cash App is on there as if I'm asking for money or something. So, yeah. But they like to twist things when they're exposed.
Yeah, no kidding. They'll try to make it sound like you're some dangerous criminal, which is exactly what they did with Hillary and Stuart Handy was. They came on the television, and I was like laughing at the absurdity of it. This man has stolen his mother, and police are in a standoff trying to determine what they can do about this horrible thief that stole his mother from the
people
that were abused.
Has anybody FOIA requested that body cam?
What now?
Has anybody FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, requested for any of that body cam? Any dash cam, any CAD reports, all of that's public information. And you can expose that, and that might help get him out of jail.
Right.
What was that criminalized for? What was the name of that?
Criminalized for being family. But we need to start using the Freedom of Information Act, and we need to start requesting that footage from the police department, all the reports, the CAD reports, which is their computer chatter, and the 911 calls. So we can put it all together and expose it, and then they'll get flooded with hundreds of thousands of calls by putting that out on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's well worth doing, and I'd like to say I'm going to jump right on it. But
we've got about 2 minutes left to the show, so we're going to talk to Hillary right now. Hillary, what's your closing? What do you want to talk about real quick?
You caught me at the worst time ever.
You caught her at a bad time.
You caught
No, I'm good. I just not to be uncouth, I just put a piece of chicken in my mouth.
I bet you're good, too.
It is. I just got an air fryer. But what I would like to talk about, besides thanking this nice lady that called us and gave us so much information and is fighting the good fight, is that we have so many people who are trying to get out of guardianship, so many elderly people. I read an article. I don't know if it was about a guardianship, but this elderly woman had a heart attack and died in the back of a police car because she was either being taken to a facility or being Baker-acted. And this is not how we should be treating the elderly and the disabled. And advocates are being targeted because we're trying to help the disabled, the elderly, with or without issues, dementia, Alzheimer's, or cognition. And what is wrong with helping people who want to be with their family and their children or their friends? What is wrong with this country that we've always been told? Anyone says, you're 50 years old. Do you have your advanced directives done? Why should we bother when they're not even respected in this country?
That's what we've been writing a book together, and we're like, well, we can't really tell people not to do their advanced directives, but then when we do, they don't work out anyway. So we're like,
I know, but honestly, Luann, it's like do them, right? Get them done, film yourself. I remember this older gentleman, he was helping on the guardianship task force, and he goes, listen, what I did was I got them put in writing, and then one Sunday I was in an empty room in my house. I videotaped all four corners so that it could be seen that I was by myself. I wasn't being coerced. And I again repeated what and who I wanted if if something did happen to make me incapacitated. May 5th, we will have either the first day of trial for prior professional for-profit guardian Tracy Hudson, who was arrested over 4 years ago, or she, like Rebecca Fairley, will make a deal with the state. And I do know that the courts want everything to move along expeditiously, but that doesn't mean that we're not, we should be letting people off the hook. And okay, so I can only hope that that goes our way. And my final go-to, and I know I'm just being a little bit random, is Denise Willis, for-profit guardian who was removed. She can no longer be a guardian in the state of Florida. 9 out of 10 of her wards, and I think she had like 50 when she was removed. There are discrepancies in their inventory and their accounting. Jen Garwood has been out of guardianship over 2 years, almost it'll be 3 in August, and she's still missing pots and pots of money, belongings. Her home was sold to an administrator of the facility where she was housed for half of what it was worth, and no charges have been brought. And it's deplorable that the people who could do something are doing nothing, you know, and it's there, but for the grace of God, go I, and I hope it doesn't happen to them. I really don't, but I just wish that they would get, that God would let them see what is going on and they could do more than what they're doing. So again, another top-notch radio show, and thank you for letting me speak.
There you go.
Absolutely. Thank you for your words.
Well, we thank
all of our guests. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate all the help that you're offering and that you've given. And we appreciate you, your heart, for standing up against the corruption that we all face.
Right.
Well, make sure that... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Let me just say one thing quite quickly. And I just keep Leslie Federico's in your thoughts. And I know not everyone is her fan. She's got loads and loads of them. But just remember, Leslie Federico's has a huge heart. She came in when no one would help us. She was taking clients on, you know, and having them pay on a monthly basis. She was helping people, taking pro bono cases and trying and succeeding at getting people out of guardianship when they didn't have a chance at getting out of guardianship. And she is really being put through the ringer by the Florida bar, which is, you know, it's not an easy fight to fight to begin with, but add in that she does have mental issues. She is ill. She is sick. And she is a woman. And really, she has helped us out so much. And keep good thoughts in your minds about Leslie, because it's a battle. And I know for a fact, honestly, I talk a good game, but I don't think that I could fight the battle that she's fighting against the Florida bar.
Yeah.
She truly is one of our stalwart and one of our favorite people who's on the front lines of this battle. And we've got to give her whatever support we can. Because I love Leslie Federico. She deserves it. She's earned it. And she has the privilege of being absolutely an amazing soul that really deserves all of our
support. Right. We're also going to start giving out cards today. The Maverick down in Texas, Bill Ross. He's forced to give up his law license. Going to go into retirement. So we're gonna hopefully we can get him on to our radio to talk about this as well. Anyway, yes, our hats go off to these people, and we're gonna keep prayers, everybody. Thank you for listening. I remember all of our shows can be viewed at your own leisure, or listened to, and you may share the link. Friends can be found on Facebook Radio, on Hidden Fields Channel, on Blog Talk Radio. All of our shows are recorded, and they are archived. You may also follow us on Facebook, Families Against Sport and Belts, on Ethical Standards Basis. Hidden Truth Field, you will be notified if you click the little button there listen to speak. Well, that's about what we have to say. Justice
requires
and
accountability.
Giving up is not an
not
option.
Enough.
It's not going to happen, everybody. So keep on with it, and we will see you. Thank you, everybody. On, we will see you. And let's do this again.
Keep on trying.
We're gonna play this Judicial Integrity Project. This is what we did in front of the state capitol. This is so funny, you guys. I will never forget this. Here you go.
Transparency.
We demand transparency
and accountability.
And accountability
in every judge from sea to sea.
In every judge from sea to sea.
We just want integrity.
We just want integrity.
Judicial hides a lot from you.
Judicial hides a lot from you.
There's not much in public view.
There's not much in public view.
From this darkness they won't budge.
From this darkness they won't budge.
That's why you don't know your judge.
That's why you don't know your judge.
From this darkness they won't budge.
From this darkness they won't budge.
That's why you don't know your judge.
That's why you don't know your judge.